You are tuned in to Lightworkers Lounge, tales of having a human experience in a spiritual world.
I was always that weird person in astrology school who wanted to know, okay, what transits or placements do you look for in a birth chart to predict death? What placements in a birth chart indicated morbid death? Just a gory one. And of course, when I took my Sinistry and Composite series with the wonderful Malika Semper, I was the one who raised my hand and said, how do you find cheating in affairs in a birth chart? It was then I knew I have a Scorpio moon. But I thought these things were juicy until I start to see them on my own chart. Until I start to see them on charts of people I'm getting close to. And then it's like, wait, this isn't fun anymore. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Lightworkers Lounge. I'm your host and astrologer, Stephanie Powers. And today, we're going to talk about when you feel the urge of help. Astrology is scaring me. Because we've all been there. Horoscopes can be scary. If you're someone as sensitive as I am, anxiety-ridden with multiple things, just overstimulated, it can be scary sometimes when you see a future forecast of a proverbial Cat 5 hurricane of emotional intensity, trauma, change, crisis coming your way. And so with astrology as a beautiful spiritual practice, scientific practice at that, I wanted to just make a quick podcast episode to help anybody out there who is reading the current astrology of April and just feeling like, holy shit, what just happened? That was scary. What's it going to feel like the next time we have an eclipse? How am I going to feel the next time we have a full moon in Scorpio? Whatever it may be. I wanted to make this podcast episode to anchor you and ground you and let you know that astrology is not scary and that it's such a nuanced art, meaning it is just layered and layered and layered that say you're having a bad transit, there's probably 10 wonderful transits of other planets and happenings on your chart. And ultimately, you guys have to know when you spend so much time listening to me and taking advice and information from me, where I'm projecting from, there's a reason why the intro to the podcast is Tales of Having a Human Experience in a Spiritual World. And there's a reason why I say the phrase, feet on the ground, head in the stars. It's because I want to be an outlier in the spiritual industry, we'll say. I want to stand out. My dream is to open an astrology boutique or a literal lightworkers lounge, but it's professional, it's clean, it's safe. It's not, you guys really resonated on that episode, gosh, a year ago, where I shared it's not going to be dark, the windows covered, tapestries hanging, sage burning, incense that just overwhelm your senses because they smell so strong. Like none of that. I want it to feel like going into an all glass, what are they called, a solarium? So like a room or a house that's all glass with plants, and it drives me bonkers. And maybe it's my human design, who knows, but when blinds are closed, if I'm getting a surgery, I want the blinds open. If I'm at the dentist, open the windows. I want to look at the cars going by. I went to the chiropractor today for the very first time. I want to share that in a second, but they had all the blinds closed. And I'm like, am I a weirdo if I just go to the windows and open them up? Like, I don't care if people see me. I really don't. But I need the light. Yes, my environment is shores and human design, and it's really strong. But I wanted to make this podcast episode as a reiteration of my podcast motto, which is feet on the ground, head in the stars. Tales of having a human experience in a spiritual world. My MO around these parts in this lounge is, hey, we've got to be humans. We've got to make money. We've got to fuck up. We've got to make mistakes. We've got to have bad chapters of life, and we've got to have amazing one. We got to actually work and put in effort and do really uncomfortable things and not fall too far down the rabbit hole of spirituality, yet stay anchored. And hey, I really enjoy trashy TV on Netflix, and sometimes I go to McDonald's, but I'm a spiritual person. I laughed so hard at myself this morning, 8:30 in the morning. I'm just cruising down these South Texas streets to the chiropractor, bumping Big X the plug. He's our new favorite rapper over here. He's amazing. And I'm pretty sure he's a Taurus with a Sagittarius moon. almost my chart twin, and his Instagram is hilarious. But I was like, listen to me. And this vulgar song with my subwoofer in the back of the 4Runner just pulling up to get a chiropractor adjustment. Like, what? Same thing. Blast hip hop on my way to the farmer's market. Where are my friends? I know you guys exist out there. Please find me. Let's get started. I went to the chiropractor today for really no reason. I have been blessed to not have any back pain. 35 years old. I know so many of my peers have struggled hardcore with spine pain, lower back pain, upper back pain. That's never been me. But as a holistic health coach, I'm like, what a hypocrite. I tell people acupuncture, massage therapy, chiropractor, you know, pursue these arts. They're very healing, but I have never been to the chiropractor. I grew up going with my mom because she just lives and dies by it. So I would watch her get adjusted. And I really love the atmosphere of chiropractic offices. But I was always just that girl. When people cracked their knuckles in school, I was like, gross, the sound. So it just wasn't for me. It didn't speak to me, right? But I have been experiencing numbness and tingling in my arms every night when I'm asleep. I mean, it goes so numb that I wake up, jolt out of sleep, and I can't touch my arm. And I do have a heart murmur that I was born with. And so I'm assuming as I age, my circulation isn't improving, of course. A desk job, sitting on my laptop all day does not help. I really try to get up and move quite frequently, but I'll just rub my arms. JL taught me this, to just act like I'm wiping dog hair or dirt off of my sleeves. And it usually brings the numbness and the feeling back into my arms. But it's my pointer finger and my thumb are always the ones that go numb. If you hold your hand up with just your pointer finger and your thumb, it looks like you're making an L, loser shape. Or as the chiropractor called it today, the six shooter. Because it looks like you're holding a gun, a six shooter. And so we did x-rays of my spine. Shout out to Higher Living Chiropractic in New Braunfels, Texas, first of all. They were amazing people. Kelsey, Dr. Brett, everyone I ran into there. It was such a good first-time experience, and I have to shout them out. But we took the x-ray, and I was so excited. I was embarrassed that I have never looked at my spine before in an x-ray. Like, come on, Steph, get your shit together. This is such... The Dr. Brett, he used an example, an analogy that made so much sense. He's like, people go to the dentist because you can see your teeth and you use them to chew food, but you smile and it's cosmetic and people can see them. So of course, we're going to the dentist because we can see cavities. We can see if there's an issue in our teeth. He's like, your spine is the same exact way. You just can't see it. And it's as vital and important to the overall health of the body as the teeth are. And so it's such a shame that people are not taking time to heal their spine or get it regularly checked. Well, the good news, we'll start with that. Speaking of help, astrology is scaring me. The empowered side of my visit is my spine looks beautiful. She's doing good, guys. She's got a little bit of a curve. That's, of course, from bad posture. It's funny, as Dr. Brett was talking to me, my posture was terrible. I was like leaning in and crossing my legs, and I was like, oh shit, let me just straighten up here. And my posture right now is terrible as well. So old habits die hard. But my spine's looking good. Needs a little cracks to get in alignment, but overall, pretty healthy spine. But we found what is causing my numbness and my six shooter fingers to go numb. It's called 6C. That's why it's 6C and known as six shooter, because it affects the nerves running to the pointer finger and the thumb. It is, oh, hear me out. I'm still learning the terminology. Is it the bones, the spine? What? The vertebrae 6C, neck muscles, shoulders, tonsils, stiff neck, all of those things. And it's directly connected to the nerve that goes through the arms and to the fingers that form the L. It is very short and it's very compressed. And I actually have what's called a straight neck or a military neck. The vertebrae around the neck area is supposed to have a nice soft curve. Mine is straight as a board. More than likely from 35 years of terrible posture. And so that was a really big bummer because it's going to take quite a few adjustments, I think, to fix. But of course, body keeps the score. I ran home, grabbed my tried and true and trusted book by Louise Hay called Heal Your Body, The Mental Causes for Physical Illness and the Metaphysical Way to Overcome Them. And I flipped. It's so funny. I remember when I got this book, having not been into chiropractic care, Louise wrote like 3 pages in the back. There's this drawn out picture of the spine, and she goes over every single vertebrae and what it connects to and what it means. So that's where I got the 6C, neck muscles, shoulders, tonsils. When I look at that, because she defines the metaphysical emotional reason behind each twisted vertebrae, here we go, 6C. The probable cause behind the emotional reasoning is burdens, overload, trying to fix others, resistance to change, and inflexibility. Oh, just getting called out by Louise on a regular Wednesday afternoon. Yes. Oh, that is something that I'm eternally working on, is letting people absorb their the consequences from their actions and surrounding myself with people. I told my therapist a year ago, I was like, I don't know how to make friends if it's not through a trauma bond. If I'm not actively helping them and healing them, what do you do? Do you talk about the weather? What do you talk about? What do you do together? Do you laugh and play and talk about music? that's such a foreign thing to me. And so, of course, I've got this vertebrae and it's inflamed. The new thought pattern Louise writes for this is, I lovingly release others to their own lessons, and I lovingly care for myself. I move with ease through life. Isn't that beautiful? I love this book. Again, I'll try and remember to add it to the show notes, but this is Heal Your Body by Louise Hay. So I know we have a lot of chiropractors that listen to this, and acupuncturists and massage therapists. So guys, I'm stepping into your side back again, and I'm excited. Oh my gosh. Ooh. He was like, all right, that neck is stiff, girl. We got to twist it today. And I was like, oh, it's just going to be a quick little crack. He had me lay down, put my face down on the table, and it wasn't as bad as the full-blown panic attacks my body goes through with acupuncture, but boy, when he cracked my neck to the left and then he cracked it to the right, I was just like, yo, popcorn just cooked in my noggin, Dr. Brett. What was that? And I just sat there with my face down. He was done. He was like, all right, lay on your back. And I was like, can you give me a second? I'm processing what just happened. He was probably laughing. I couldn't see, but I eventually turned around and he cracked my neck from, it's weird. I'm so disgusted by it. Just the sounds and like all of the bright stars that have appeared in my eyes when he cracked it. And just how loud it is through your ears. Yet I liked it. I really, my body communicated, hey, I'm enjoying this. But my ego was like, yeah, I'm not going back. So there's my chiropractor story. I'm a believer. I'm excited. I can't wait to get my back cracked. He did a little one on my lower back to fix that, but I think the neck's probably the ickiest one to get cracked. All right, guys, let's dive into the astrology stuff. You know what to do. You know our errands and our chores around the lounge. Leave a review wherever you're listening to the show. It helps other people find our practical way of talking about astrology. And share the show. I'd appreciate it so much. And as you listen to this, if you really resonate with my style of teaching and you'd like to look at transits on your chart, come find me at lightworkers-lounge.com. We have pre-recorded readings for my busy bees who don't have time to meet one-on-one. And if you do have time, I would absolutely love to see you. I'm going to Indiana for the month of May, and I'm so excited. It feels like the best homecoming. I had such a lovely, lovely summer there last year that I am just like a kid on Christmas Eve. I get to go home and play in the gardens and look at the farmland and just grow food and eat food from a garden and my mom and my brother, just being in my mom's presence, being in my brother's presence, who is just hilarious, his Aquarius rising. The things that fly out of his mouth are A, so intelligent and innovative, but B, just fucking hilarious. I love his sense of humor. And you guys heard my mom on the podcast. The newsletter, if you have not subscribed to our Monday newsletter, I had my mom write it on January 20th when Pluto moved into Aquarius because that was also her birthday. That was fun. You guys loved that one. So go subscribe, lightworkers-lounge.com. It's free. You get 4 emails a month. That's it. No spam. Come hang out with us. I think I'm going to eventually move it to a Substack because I am obsessed with writing these long form content with you guys, and the responses that you guys give me are so healing, thought provoking, beautiful, and poetic. I am flattered that I have created through my energy that I'm putting out a community like you. You are absolutely amazing. Thank you. So help! Astrology is scaring me. How many times have we all felt this? Right? So the number one thing when we get to that, holy shit, this forecast scares me. Holy crap, this horoscope or this upcoming transit through my eighth house scares me. Or Pluto is squaring this. Or this looks like there's a high chance of divorce or breaking up. Or my pet dying, my mom, my dad, someone dying. Of course, these things are scary. But I want you to remember, there is always an empowered and disempowered side to every placement, to every transit, to everything in life. Let's just pull back astrology for a minute and realize, guys, what's going to happen to you is going to happen to you. We can pull fate and destiny into this a little bit. Whether or not you understood the study of astrology. I have seen clients in my years of readings who have the best of the best transits, yet something terrible happens during that time. And similarly, I've seen people with really difficult transits have one of the best chapters of their life. It's all in how you view change, all in how you view energy, right? Like my cardinal signs, my Libra, Aries, Cancer, Capricorns. When I'm looking at quote unquote difficult transits on their chart, I'm not worried about them. They welcome change. They thrive off change. A lot of them need crisis to get moving. So they're like, let's do it. My fixed signs, my Scorpio, Taurus, Aquarius, Leo, those are the ones who will deny it. Like, nope, nothing happened. Nope, nothing's going to happen. I'm good. Or they'll be very fearful of it. And then my mutable signs, my Sagittarians, Virgos, Pisces, Geminis, these are the ones who will probably get the most anxiety when they just replay, well, this could happen. Well, that could happen. What if it goes this way? What if it goes that way in their mind? So remember that everything is going to happen no matter if you have the knowledge of an astrological forecast or not. You guys are, if you're here listening to Lightworkers Lounge, there's a very high chance that you're very empathic, very sensitive and attuned to, let's see, your psychic senses or just other dimensions, different things. So I'm not worried about y'all. You guys are attuned to this stuff. But I will say, I very often see people finally invest in a birth chart reading, usually when their progressed moon is changing houses or signs, usually when there's a big transit on their chart. This is usually when someone's like, okay, I'm going to spend the money to invest in a birth chart reading because I can just feel that there's some big change. Even if I can't see it directly in front of me, I just feel it. So let me go get some guidance. Right? I see it all the time. It is fascinating to witness. And then what's fun about our birth chart readings is before I meet you on Zoom, I pull key dates from your past just to kind of show you how astrology has been working with you since you were born and you didn't even know it. Right? And so even if you stopped studying astrology and reading your horoscope and whatever, and you just kept going on and going on, it's going to happen anyway. Right? We can't stop some of these things. And maybe this is my optimistic Sag, like, hey, fuck it, we're all gonna die. Let's just do whatever. YOLO. You only live once. Maybe. But ultimately, that's where I want you to feed on the ground, is to understand Life is just going to be life. Unfortunately, you will experience death yourself and through those you love around you. It's going to suck, but there are so many great tools to carry you through grief. You're going to fall in love when you least expect it. You might get married. You might have children. You might not. Astrology, and we're going to get to this too, it is all about how you interpret change and transformation, what you do with the energy. You guys love when I use the analogy of a weather forecast. I can tell you that, hey, the weather forecast this weekend is going to be cold and rainy and windy. You probably don't want to go pitch a tent in the woods and enjoy it. You take that information and say, well, I've got tons of waterproof gear. I've got hand warmers. And honestly, that means probably nobody's going to be out there camping. And I love to be alone in the woods. Therefore, I like that forecast and I'm going to go for it. Or you can decide, oh yeah, nothing worse than being wet and cold and wind. That's going to blow everything over. Yeah, no thanks. I'll go the following weekend. Astrology kind of works in the same way. You get to decide how to interpret it for yourself. I use a hurricane analogy as well to describe what forecasting and astrology is all about. You know, for this episode, obviously speaking, we're talking about predictive astrology. I'm not talking about your natal birth chart. Your natal birth chart is kind of your soul's promise. And with every placement there, there's an empowered and a disempowered side to the chart. Right? So I'm talking more of predictive astrology here because that seems to be the one that gives people the most anxiety. So the hurricane analogy is we forecast Cat 5s here in the United States all the time. They hit Florida and Texas, Louisiana is a hot one, Mississippi, Alabama, South Carolina, North Carolina, just that whole East Coast and Gulf of Mexico states area. It's really prominent for getting hurricanes. And a lot of times we predict Cat 5, the strongest storm, here it comes. And then it actually ends up being a Cat 2, or it turns and misses you. But you were prepared. You got water, you got food, you got a generator, or perhaps you just decided to evacuate and come back later when it's done. Right? And if you choose to stick it out and it, God forbid, it actually is a Cat 5 and does exactly what the meteorologist predicted it would, you can look at it from, well, that just tore off my roof and completely leveled my home. But what if my home was riddled with mold, covered with mold in the walls, and that was revealed, and now I get to rebuild something healthy, and that actually saved my life? Or what if you meant to rebuild and remodel anyway? Now you don't have to pay for demolition. It's already done for you. Or what if deep, deep, deep down, you didn't really want to live there anyway? Or what if you would have lived there and somebody would have robbed you when you lived there? Like the possibilities are endless. So again, that's a very optimistic point of view from looking at it. But I don't know about you, but some of the worst things that happened to me led to some of the best things that happened to me. Some of the worst things that didn't lead to good things are a reason why everywhere I go, people ask me, how do you have this glow to you? I love hanging out with you. How do you have this energy to you? I'm like, well, I've been through some shit. I've felt zero glow, zero life in me. I have felt just the pain of abandonment and betrayal and abuse, and I felt it all. I just choose to transmute it. I just choose to say, well, that sucked, but there's a lot more people in this world that I can resonate with and that can bring me smiles, make me laugh, and actually ask and care about me. Like there's more sunsets and sunrises to see. Ask me that again when Jeffrey passes away and we'll have a conversation. But again, you know, and like, let's be serious here. When Jeffrey, my pug, by the way, not my boyfriend. A lot of people think Jeffrey's JL, the pug. When he passes away, my ultimate soulmate, my God, I mean, I'll be wearing a different lens of viewing the world from a different color for the rest of my life. But where there's great pain, there's great love. And how freaking lucky am I to have experienced that? This could be the key to that glow people mention about me and my Manuka honey face mask. But hey, who knows? But there's always good to be found. And I really try to look at life through that lens. I do. You know, when we're researching transits on our chart or when we're researching placements in our natal chart, what do? We pop it into Google. And you know what's on Google? Some really great blogs or some really great Reddit forums where you can learn some pretty cool stuff from people from around the world. But what I want you to look at is twist it from this vantage point. Those who are experiencing the empowered, amazing, fun side of a transit or fun side of a placement in their chart are probably too present to write or blog about it. And human nature is we love to vent to each other. We love to talk about our pain more than we love to go online and just write about how amazing and perfect life is and what it was like when it was that perfect. It's just human nature. And so a lot of people who are online writing about things are going for solace, for comfort. They're seeking validation in something that they went through, right? Picture when you're falling in love with somebody. Sure, in the age of social media, you might want to document it and post pictures of you guys and videos of you guys. But when things go sour, whether you post or get on stage with it or not, you want to talk about it. Whether in privacy with your friends and family or in a blog or write it in a book, write it in poetry, right? I think if you're a poet, of course, love is your greatest muse, but I think pain is one of the greatest muses. Yes, I'm talking about the tortured poets department. I love The Alchemy. I love Down Bad. Holy shit, Taylor's song, I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. It's beautiful, but I'm also like, is anybody helping her? Is anybody asking if she's okay? I love Taylor Swift. But that's what I'm trying to say is that when you're going on Google and you're researching place, you're usually going to find the negative interpretations of a specific placement, right? And I know there's some of you out there who are like, lay it on me. I want to know the bad parts. I want to know the negative so I can avoid it. In fact, in composite relationship charts, you can see how a relationship may end by looking at the 12th house. But some people like it, some people don't. Getting to know yourself and being anchored in, okay, I can't handle that. You know, like for me, I can't watch bloody, gory, violent, fighting movies or TV shows. I just can't. I can appreciate them for the art that they are, but that stuff sticks with me for years. It affects my energy so much. And I used to think, oh, I'm just naive and innocent. But now I know as a 35-year-old woman, that is not the stuff I want in my subconscious. I always know when there's these nasty videos about bullying or high school shootings or racist videos or just shit like that that flies over the internet. I won't click it. I know it's like looking at a car accident. I just can't. It affects me too much. So get to know yourself in that regard and think, okay, if I Google something in my chart or a transit coming up and I'm starting to see death, rebirth, a crisis coming in, like, whoa, okay. If you're in a sensitive chapter of life, right, check on your progressed moon, come see me. You probably don't want to be reading that. It's very easy, right, when we're going through some pain, when we suspect our partner's cheating on us, or when we're in the situation where we want to cheat on a partner, or when we're at work and we feel unvalued and underpaid. You are taking that lens and searching strategically, whether you know it or not, through blogs and forums, trying to find proof for validation of, my Saturn is square, my sun in the 8th house and the 4th. You're going to find it. It's kind of like I tell people, if you want to go through a partner's phone or their personal belongings because you want proof of something, you're going to find it. You are going to find whether it's a literal example of them cheating on you with someone else or just something where it's like, who is she? Who's that? What are we doing? You're going to find something that triggers you. So why bother? And that could be a whole other conversation. But similar energy is with astrology. Be very cautious of who you follow. Now, I personally love Astro Butterfly. They don't put their names out there, which I also love about them, but it's called Astro Butterfly. They're spiritual yet practical. They are very feet on the ground, head in the stars, where they give you tangible, practical advice on specific transits. They tell you the good and the bad with each transit. I find it's just a beautiful balance of the two. Astrology King isn't so bad. I personally think he is a little bit more on the dramatic negative side. So, I think with his new blogs, he's becoming more optimistic, showing the good and the bad, the empowered and the disempowered. But those two are my favorite. Astro Butterfly, can't get enough of their newsletter, and Astrology King seem to be my favorite. And I'm sure there's other great ones out there. So if I didn't mention someone that you absolutely love and you find that they're very practical in their approach, please send it to me. spowers@lightworkers-lounge.com. So, number two, always remember that there's so much more going on in your chart that softens the edges of tough transits, right? A lot of people are like, oh, I'm so scared of 8th house transits or even 4th house transits. 10th house, my direction and my career is about to get shaken up. If you follow the newsletter, I just put one out on Monday where I talk about how confused I feel. Like, I love astrology as my career. I pinch myself every day that I get to meet you guys and read your charts for a living. But I'm just in this phase where I'm craving more. I feel like there's something more. And I'm in a 12th house perfection year. I have Pluto conjunct my Aquarius midheaven to the degree. And in my progressed chart, I have my progressed moon in Pisces conjunct my midheaven in Pisces to the degree. So as an astrologer looking at my own chart, I see that. I've watched it. I have been watching it for over a year. Like, here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes. We just had the big Jupiter-Uranus conjunction on my Taurus rising to the degree. Guys, am I okay? I don't know. I still have a pulse. I've got a pretty good spine, but my neck needs work. And so I'm also, you know, and it's my first house of my physical body. So the negative translation of that is something, God forbid, physically happening to me, a diagnosis, an injury, an illness. I don't look at it that way. I'm looking at it as a fresh start that's going to dramatically change my direction in life with all of those midheaven transits happening for me. But of course, I have days where I'm like, holy shit, what's it going to be? Is Jeff going to die? Is JL going to die? Am I going to have a fall from grace because I slip and say something that's like accidentally sexist or racist on the podcast? Like, oh, I haven't posted on social media. I'm losing my following. Nobody cares about me because I show up once every 2 weeks. Like, all the stories I tell myself that are so silly and rooted in wounds and nonsense, they're there. But I look at those transits and I say, hey, there is so much at work behind the scenes. All you have to do right now, Steph, is take a deep breath, focus on your physical body's health, and do things that feel good. Just do things that feel good. It's a beautiful, partly cloudy day here in South Texas, and I thought, I'm just going to curl up in the back of the motorhome in our cozy little bed with the dogs and the fan and read a love story, a novel. That's all I'm going to do. That's exactly what I'm going to do after I finish this podcast. Just breathe. Even though my critical task to-do list is a mile long, I'm not going to do it. Oh, what a concept. So number three, it's all the weather forecast. Kind of skipped ahead and went with that anyway. But number four and the last one, I'll wrap it up with this. Difficult transits that you might see on the Pattern app, the CoStar app, getting a reading from another astrologer, whatever it may be. You have to remember, like, let's pick on Pluto. He's just that death and rebirth transformation and big change in our energy that people seem to be afraid of. If you see some Pluto transits, some eighth house transits or squares to Pluto, and you're like, oh, great, here we go, crisis coming in. Have you looked at your natal chart? Because if you're a natal Scorpio sun, Scorpio moon, Scorpio rising, et cetera, et cetera, these transits to the eighth house or to the Plutonian Scorpio energy should be your familiar territory. You're not going to feel this nearly as much as like a Libra or a Sagittarius, the optimistic, fun and flirty signs. You know, if you have a natal Scorpio placement, then you're very much used to the never-ending death and rebirth, never-ending shedding of who you are to be born as someone new. This cataclysmic life that you are in with Scorpio or all eighth house placements as well. This is why it is so, so important to get at least one professional birth chart reading so you can understand, that's why. And to also be armed with this knowledge to know, okay, the CoStar app is telling me that I have a Pluto square sun transit coming up. Oh my God. What they say is that it's this big transformation in your emotions and that a woman in your life could be affected and blah, 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 blah. It's a great app, by the way. The Pattern and CoStar are amazing. I look at them every day. They're so fun. So not knocking them. Please don't think that. But you have to remember, they're not reading your chart down to the like absolute degree. There's no way they can possibly know you. Every chart is a unique thumbprint. They can't possibly know everything else and accurately detail what else is going on in your chart, right? So just remembering that if you see difficult transits, well, okay, look at what planets and signs are involved and then apply that to your natal chart to see, oh, I'm used to this type of energy. So this could actually be an up-leveling in this area of life for me, right? If you're a Cancer or a Scorpio and you have a Pluto square moon transit coming up, you should be excited. That means you're about to up-level in your emotional realm. You're about to take back control or power of your emotions. Could it be from something difficult like a divorce, a breakup, a job loss, God forbid a death? Sure. But remember, we're going to circle back to the beginning here. Life is going to happen whether you are forecasting it and seeing it on a radar like a meteorologist or not. It's going to happen. Okay? Work with the energy, not against it. Don't be afraid of it. I'll leave you guys with a quote from astrologer Carol Rushman, who says in her book, The Art of Predictive Astrology, "Astrology is the study of how we deal with, experience, and respond to energy." Okay. Thank you guys for tuning in. I so appreciate your time, your ears, your listening abilities. I hope this helped you ground yourself in predictive astrology, but also your natal chart to realize there's no shitty placements. There's no, so unlucky placements. Detriment, fall, whatever word you hear about it. Of course, you have to bring those into account. And very often, the quote-unquote difficult placements in a chart are actually indicators of success, of people who accomplish a lot, who are legendary. And that's not to say people with easy transits don't experience this, but they have a battle of their own, and it's typically laziness, feeling stuck, feeling stoic, like there's no growth, there's no evolving. We humans, we are so resistant to change, yet we are so terrified of boredom. Isn't that funny? So just remember, astrology at the end of the day is a science for fun. Pay close attention, tap into your own energy, and understand, like I've been saying with social media, do you need a break from astrology? Or are you ready to take it all in and use it to your advantage, right? With astrology and predictive astrology, I always say, don't ask for a sign, then ignore it. Work with the energies. Thank you guys for tuning in. I'll see you on the next podcast episode or maybe for a birth chart reading. Lightworkers-lounge.com. See you then. I see you. Bye.